The roots of the word failure is fallo, the Latin roots, and that means to stumble or to trip. And so a failure isn't even a fall, and it certainly isn't terminal. What happens when you stumble or trip? You correct your step and you get right back up and you go.
Everybody, and welcome back to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Angie.
And we are happy to have you back listening in wherever you might be. Perhaps you're putting your makeup on in the morning, getting ready for your hustle. Maybe you're listening to us on your commute, or maybe it's Saturday morning and you're thinking, I guess I should start the laundry. And whatever it is, we are happy that you are joining us. We're happy that you're part of our tribe. If you haven't subscribed yet and you're finding us just on our social media platforms, go ahead and go out to iTunes or Spotify. Click that little subscribe button. You'll feel better. We'll feel better. And we'll be able to go on our happy way. Right, Ange?
You did that on purpose. Don't mind me, guys. I'm just drinking.
That was a big gulp.
And yes, you're right.
I always set her up, don't I?
All you right. really do. That's
so,
why I love you.
How's your week been?
You know, it's actually been really good. So we're doing this wellness challenge at work, right? Mm-hmm. And it actually made me realize how sort of complacent I've become. We're tracking steps. Mm. And it's like you've got to reach 8,000 steps a day. And we're all kind of competing together. There's almost 40 of us. And so I started tracking my steps, and I was like, wow, I've gotten super lazy. This is kind of crazy. And around that same time, I got an email that popped up that said there was a sale for a Spartan Pass, and I pulled the trigger. So I'm going to do a sprint in October. Uh-huh. I know that – you were trying to get me to do one a little bit sooner, mm-hmm. but I feel like we've got a lot going on this summer, mm-hmm. and I want to feel prepared. I want to set myself up for success.
Right.
And so I've pulled the trigger. I've bought the pass. But October 6th, I'm doing it. You're doing
we
it?
We, Goose.
Are we doing it?
We are okay, doing it. You think I'm going to let you do a Spartan race without me? Are you kidding?
I mean, I would drag somebody along. My cousin said that she would do it with me as well, mm-hmm. who – loves our podcast, so she's gonna be super stoked that you're doing it too. But okay, we're doing it.
I'm always down for a Spartan race.
Done.
Always have the tattoo to prove it.
Now it's out there. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about tattoos yet. That's the next one that I'll pull.
Just a little steps at a time.
Little steps at a time. But I am super excited. So I've already started. I mean, I haven't really started training, but I was up at 4:30 this morning. I was in the gym by 5:30 and I've gotten 8 miles in today.
Dang.
I got about 7 in yesterday. So I'm on it.
Proud of you.
Right?
Thanks. I need some motivation.
It feels good.
Yeah, it does.
My feet don't feel so good, though.
They'll feel better.
I'm in heels today, too. I made that mistake. But, mm-hmm. I mean, hustling in heels.
Gotta be hustling.
Right?
Yeah.
Gotta represent.
I am not wearing heels today. I'm wearing my Toms. But it's because I got them in my new Stitch Fix box, and I love them. So.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Addiction problem.
Oh, yeah. I've heard good things about it.
Most people get a Stitch Fix like once every 2 months. They
Not
just keep
Stacey.
Sending them to me.
Keeping them in business.
I swear every other week. I'm like, wait, here's another Stitch Fix box. Am I supposed to? Oh, man, I like those jeans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like that added aisle right there by the cash register,
I've heard
right?
that you can get VIP status for Stitch Fix, and I don't know why they haven't contacted me yet, but I'm waiting.
Stitch Fix, if you're listening to this,
I am waiting.
Time.
Oh, I'm tagging them.
Oh, there you go.
Believe that. Believe that, girl.
Believe that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, it's a good week, man.
How's your week been?
It's a good week. It's a spring break week here in Michigan, so you guys will be hearing this next you'll be hearing this a week later, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's spring break week in Michigan. So we're trying to bring the fun, metaphorically speaking, and the sun, really.
There's one a little.
Yeah, yeah, so it's been good. You know, we've been having some fun at work and working. We work hard, we play hard. That's kind of how it goes and in the biz. So anyways, it's been a good week. I enjoyed myself in Traverse City. You guys from the last episode will know I was heading up there. I love that place. For the last 15 years, first time I visited Black Star Farms was 15 years ago. And I did a wine tasting there. And I was like, someday when I make an actual paycheck, I'm going to return here and I'm going to stay the night in this bed and breakfast because it's beautiful. It was built like an old southern plantation. It's just like gorgeous. So stay there for the weekend. Did a lot of wine tasting. Went to Mari Vineyards, which is owned by the guy that does Curse of Oak Island. Mm-hmm. Went to a lot of vineyards up there. Went to some distilleries too, and then went to a brewery too. So I sampled all the different types of adult beverages, and they were all great. They got better as the day went on.
You did your own like personal booze cruise, basically, is what you're telling me.
Hey man,
you did your own spring break in a day.
It was wine tasting. It was like super, so like, you know, but it was fantastic. So happy to be back, but happy to be back in the studio. And so here we go. Right.
Speaking of wine,
you brought me some wine tonight, which was super nice of you.
I did, and I actually did good this time. Usually it's like super hit or miss, more miss than hit.
Yeah.
So I nailed it today.
Yeah, you did nail it. You brought me some Pinot Gris from Round Barn, which is one of my absolute favorites here in Southwest Michigan. The institution I work for, we are actually business partners with them. So I tout their wine whenever I get a chance. And they have an incredible concert coming up. I think we talked about this last week, too. But check it out on their social media page. Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness is going to be playing in the vineyard.
In August.
Mm-hmm. So check that out. But the Pinot Gris is like fantastic. It's perfect for right now. And I'm loving it. Makes me feel like I need to be on a boat in the sun. But I'm
not.
It's
coming. Soon. It's coming. It's on its way.
It is. What are you drinking?
I am drinking some Sunset Moscato, speaking of sun, because I'm ready for the sunsets, the gorgeous, gorgeous sunsets that we have out here, which make the winters all worth it the majority of the time. It's from St. Julien. We've featured St. Julien on here before, but I mean, you really can't beat a sweet red wine. I've been leaning towards red lately.
Yeah.
I need to make it not such a habit. I mean, I don't even know who I am anymore.
I do. I know who you are.
I mean, once we hit 70 degrees, I will only be drinking white or sangria, but it'll be white sangria too. So, yeah, don't hold me to that though. Mm-hmm. But yes, St. Julien, Sunset Moscato. I've been flipping from Indiana to Michigan and trying to spread it out a little bit.
I love St. Julien.
Yeah, they're great.
I love St. Julien's tasting room because there is a guy there, a sommelier, right? That's their official name. A wine pourer. Mm-hmm. He is fantastic. It's the same guy every time I stop in. I wish I knew his name right now. I can give him a shout out. But he runs that tasting room and he always knows just exactly what to pour for you. He knows the story behind it. Like, he sells it. He's really good.
Very nice.
So anyways, we do have a guest tonight with us.
We do. And
we
won't
be drinking all the wine.
I mean, no, we won't. And I'm super excited about our guest this week. We go way back. We go almost, as you pointed out earlier, almost 20 years way back, which is insane to me because, Aaron, we're just not that old.
Doesn't feel like it.
Y'all, it looks like you guys look like it's still 1998. All right, we'll just put that out there.
Oh, Stacey, you can say that because you're the young one of the three.
I graduated
of us.
From high school in '98. I'm down. I'm still a couple years.
I'm not even listening to you right now. I don't even know who you are right now. But yeah, Aaron, it's been a really long time. So thank you so much for coming on our podcast. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
I feel like. Man, the journey that you've taken has been incredible. We met in college at Holy Cross, took an acting class together, and by some odd circumstance got paired in our finals. And we passed, guys. Yeah. We both passed.
I've asked for the transcripts. It's debatable.
I mean, yeah, it probably is. But yeah, we passed and we've kept in touch throughout the years. So I'm super excited for you to be here and sort of tell us your story. I feel like you've got a good story. And to sort of talk about South Bend and what you've invested in it and why you've invested in it and all sorts of things. So tell the listeners a little bit about who you are.
Sure. Well, I think we're going to get along great here tonight. But yeah? By the way, I love good wine. So we're off to a good start. I don't do Stitch Fitch, but I do Trunk Club. So we can talk about that later if
we
you want.
We need to talk about that because I mean, anytime I talk about something, it pops up on my Facebook feed. And so that has been coming up.
Well,
so we're going to get to that.
Okay. And then I love being in a studio. One of my early careers was being in video production, not audio production. But so I feel comfortable here. It's good to be in good company.
That's awesome.
So my name's Aaron Perry. I'm the executive director of Venues, Parks, and Arts in the city of South Bend. A lot of people go, well, what's that? And I say, well, it's basically all the fun stuff in the city. Mm-hmm. You know, if the city was a school corporation, you know, we'd be the extracurriculars. So the core subjects would be things like streets and wastewater and trash and sewers and police and fire and all that stuff. We're the after school stuff. We're the parks and recreation. We got the golf courses. We have the baseball stadium, the zoo, the performing arts center, the convention center. Somehow parking garages fall under us too. I don't know.
As fun.
They pay your dues a little bit.
As the gym class and the theater class, but I get it.
But that's us. You know, we have a great staff of folks. It swells to well over 200 folks in the summer. And we're just making South Bend, what we like to say is more livable. Mm-hmm. So every city's got to have kind of the baseline, right? And, you know, of course people love to talk about potholes, this and schools and crime and things like that. You got to take care of the basics to be a city, just to be at the table. But when all things being equal, deciding where you're going to live, I think it's the stuff that's in our purview that makes South Bend a fun place to be. So the mayor loves to say he has the best job in the world, being mayor of his hometown. I say, no. Look, I don't have to deal with trash and wastewater and sewers and police. I get the fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so events and concerts and things like that. So that's what I do for a living. I'm born and raised in South Bend. So it's really a great honor to serve my city in this fashion. But I've always along the way kind of thought, I'll probably leave South Bend some point in time. Matter of fact, that's how success was measured at one point in time. Are you going to get out of South Bend? Mm-hmm. You know, when I graduated high school, people are, you're going to stay here for college? Yeah. And when I graduated college, you know, my classmates go, you mean you're going to stay in South Bend? is that like, cause you couldn't get anything out? No, that's a choice. And, investing in my hometown has been the best decision of my life. And so I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And, it's a fun time to be involved, right? You know, Mayor Pete is out there on the national stage touting our story. I'm going to drink a sip of wine here.
Yes, please do. I'll talk a little bit while you're drinking. I tend to do that. So I love the introduction here, how you're talking about your commitment to community, and we'll jump into that a little bit deeper, obviously. But I'm curious where that sense of commitment to your community and that purpose comes from. Because as you said, I mean, I think that's true with any small town. Mm-hmm. The goal is to get out, right? And I'm listeners know I talk about my town as my beloved hometown. Like it is. I knew I wanted to always come back. So, but not everyone feels like that. So where did that come from? Talk a little bit about your upbringing and maybe that how that contributed to you wanting to commit and make a difference in where your small town.
Sure. Like I said, born and raised here, went through public school, went to Adams and graduated there and ended up staying here for college, went to Holy Cross and then Notre Dame. And I think it
go
was
Irish.
My go Irish.
Yes,
that's right.
Go yes. Irish. Oh, we're a bunch of Irish fans here. Very nice.
Women's basketball going to the Final Four.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you see that? Muffet McGraw's lime green heels?
Oh, Muffet is amazing.
Talk about style, by the way. That
no
woman.
Amazing.
No kidding.
Talk about a hustler.
She is the hustling
hustler. In heels.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. She is the epitome of.
Do you got some pull with Muffet?
Yeah. I've met her a few times. She's actually painted, you wouldn't believe this, she painted my fingernail purple at one point in time. So there's a story behind that.
Yeah.
That we do in Rotary to, you know, it's a fundraiser deal.
Yeah,
but
sure.
So it's kind of interesting.
That's very cool.
But Muffet's great. No, so Notre Dame, I think it was my time at the university when I started meeting friends from around the country. Andrew, you know this, people come from all over to go there and people start asking me about my hometown. And I felt like I had to become like a defender of it, you know, almost like, oh, you're from here? What what is there to do in this town? So on and so forth. And so pretty quick, I became an expert on my hometown and started looking at it from a different lens than how I maybe looked at it growing up. It's just, it's South Bend. It's my town. It's like, you know, my family's from here. I just thought that little bit about it. And then I realized I'm going to have to figure out how to like curate things to do to tell my friends and become a tour guide in my own town. That's right. And so that's where I was kind of reminded of this children's book. I often bring it around and tell people about it. It's called Nothing Ever Happens on My Block. And the premise of the book, it's about this little kid named Chester Filbert who sits out in front of his house, and it's all in black and white. And he basically has his hands on his cheeks and on his chin going, man, nothing ever happens on my block. Some cities have XYZ. Some cities have fireworks, and some cities have concerts, and some cities have zoos. And he keeps talking about what some cities have. Meanwhile, he's sitting there not looking behind him. And there's all these scenes that are happening in color, like marching behind him. There's tigers and there's these crazy little scenes that are happening behind him, but he never turns around to see it because he's too busy sulking in front of his house going, nothing ever happens on my block. And the final line is, when I grow up, I'm going to move. And I felt like that's South Bend, right?
Yeah.
I felt like people are just always, we're always saying, oh, well, Grand Rapids is doing this or, you know, so such and such city is doing that, but nothing ever happens here in South Bend. I said, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And so I got really excited about how can I pour into that. And out of college, started volunteering for various organizations and trying to give back to the community. And then eventually took a full-time position with a group called Downtown South Bend that does kind of placemaking for the downtown core and events and marketing and business recruitment. And so that's kind of how this led me to where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was your educational background in?
Yeah, it was you know, when you're a film, television, and theater major, Angie talked about the theater side of it there, you're surely going to become the director of a Parks and Recreation department.
Yeah, right. That's how it happened.
Obviously. I get it.
No, so that was my major. That's what I graduated with from Notre Dame. And I did that full time for 2 years out of college, ran my own AV company. It paid the bills, but I realized I should probably go back and get a real degree sometimes. They always tell you, major in, and I think it's great advice, major in the things you're interested in, mm-hmm. in undergrad, and you're going to get some of the baseline and the pragmatics and learn how to live life and work in teams and things like that. And if you ever want to go back, go deeper with something, you can do that later.
Right. So absolutely.
That's what I did. So, but I did go back and get my MBA at Notre Dame. I was afforded that opportunity while I was working there. Life takes you funny places sometimes,
it
right?
Does. It really does. Yeah.
Everybody has a story. And so mine went from, you know, mowing grass and working in my grandfather's restaurant to eventually running an AV company. My friend and I dusted off our old high school's video yearbook equipment and figured out how to work that stuff. And so that got me interested in the AV industry and you know, put me through college and did it full time, part time jobs here and there to make the bills. To make the ends meet, and eventually got offered the opportunity to run a new place on Notre Dame's campus called Legends.
I love Legends.
It's just really interesting. I was helping out with concerts and events over there as part of my AV job.
Yeah.
And they were going through a management change and I thought, you know what, maybe I should give it a whirl. You know, I grew up in the restaurant business and knew enough about that to be dangerous. And so before you know it, I'm helping run a nightclub and banquet facility on Notre Dame's campus. And that was fun. So I did that for about 7.5 years.
Really?
I think we reconnected when you were still doing that, actually.
You know, we had bumped into each other so many different times through the years, Angie.
Well, and it's so funny that, you know, you're talking about how you felt like you sort of needed to become a defender of South Bend. Mm. And when I came back from New York, I talk a lot about New York on here, but when I came back from New York, I think we bumped into each other and we went and had dinner, and I was sort of talking about how it was such a huge transition to come back. And I really wasn't sure what I was going to do because...
It can be scary, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, scary. But I thought, oh my gosh, I'm coming from this place that there was always, always something to do on like every single corner to a place where, from what I remembered, it's maybe partially from growing up in the area, but partially because at that point, it hadn't but really been built up. Mm. A not very diverse or cultural area. Mm. And so the more we talked, I think the more I realized that maybe there was starting to be a little bit more, you know, you were involved with Legends at the time and sort of, I mean, even that portion of it, bringing some concerts there that hadn't traditionally been in the area and things like that. So I think even back then you had already started to sort of invest in the community and bring some things to it that hadn't been there before. So, you know, you telling these stories, it's bringing me all
back.
Almost, yeah, you were almost the defender of South Bend then. And I really appreciated it because I've become a defender of South Bend now too, throughout my years as I've talked to, you know, new people whom I meet through my career that might be new to the area or things like that. I'm like, oh, you should check out this little restaurant. It's a great gem. It's this little hidden, you know, or these different pottery places or Make South Bend or all of these things. And so I appreciate that you've passed that along, and I imagine you've passed that along to a lot of people.
Well, it's infectious, and I'm certainly probably not the originator of that. I would be silly to think I would be, but you kind of got to work for it. It's getting a little bit easier now, but that was always my encouragement. There is culture here, right? And so you just have to kind of figure it out. Like this coming weekend, there's this really cool house concert series put on by a guy named Miles Robertson, who also runs the Purple Porch Co-op, and just like that really cool scene and vibe that he's making. Or you want to go out to Westside Wednesday and check out, you know, a lot of the cultural activities that they have around there, and some of the best Mexican food in town, and the little Mexican ice cream parlor, and so on and so forth. It's fun to see it all unpack. So you got to maybe work a little harder to find those things than you might see in a big city. But once you're in, you're in. Mm-hmm. And once you find those things, the level of depth you can take that community is infinite here. At a place like New York City, you're more of a consumer or an audience member. Here you get to be an actor.
Yeah.
Or you get to be in the play in some way, shape, or form. Maybe you don't want to be an actor. Maybe you want to be somebody behind the scenes, or you want to, you know, be one of the crew members. Yeah. But that's the fun part about this.
You know? The opportunity to make an impact is so much greater here than perhaps someplace like even Chicago or New York or those sorts of things. And that's a really great point. I never really thought about it like that, but that's a really great perspective. Will you talk a little bit about the Purple Porch Co-op?
Porch Co-op, Miles gets a free commercial.
I've heard a lot about it, and so I'm kind of curious because I feel like
it's a cool spot.
A lot of people have heard a lot about it, but they don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, it's in downtown's East Bank Village. So it's near the corner of Hill and Colfax. Maybe you've seen Inspire Me, the women's boutique that's there. There's a new pop-up shop there that's she's going to kill me. I'm forgetting the name of her. It's going to come to me. Delicious Cookies. It'll come to me in a minute.
Is that the late night ones?
No, this is a mostly wholesome bakery. That's her tagline. Oh. Ragamuffin.
Okay.
New pop-up shop. It's in the old, it's really cool. It's in an old antique store type thing. And so
this is the first I've heard of it. That's awesome.
It's right next to Purple. Mostly wholesome bakery.
That is an amazing tagline.
She does some gluten-free things too. So yeah, she does a great job there, Ragamuffin. And then Purple Porch. So this little corner is really becoming a cool spot. Mm-hmm. And Purple Porch Co-op, it's a full service grocery store. They have everything there that you could want. A lot of people think, oh, a co-op, no, you don't have to be a member to go there, that type of thing. It is member owned, but they've got great hours, and it's just a fantastic place to go and get, you know, organic, locally grown type things.
Not something you would traditionally think of South Bend for.
Well, that's right.
Right?
And, you know, people often say, so I live in downtown. And people go, oh my gosh, you live in downtown. I would live there if only there were a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And then I start rattling off, well, you know, the Purple Porch Co-op's two blocks away from me. And there's Saigon Market, who has some of the best Asian food you're going to get anywhere in town. They get fresh deliveries on Friday afternoon. You could go to Flamingo's, which is the Mexican grocery store. You can go a hop, skip, and a jump away. If you really need something in a pinch, you got 7-Eleven or Maddie's Market too.
Okay.
Then you got the Farmer's Market just a couple blocks away, and Bamber Superette a couple blocks away. Mm. Oh, Mama's Cheese, Oh my gosh. If you have not been to O'Mama's, by the way.
Amazing. With wineries not very far from there.
That's right. Right? And then there's wineries. Yeah. So
there's
you got
wineries
the wineries
downtown something.
There's a brand new one. Iron Hand.
Oh, we gotta get you some Iron Hand.
Iron Hand, which I've brought.
In fact, I've been there actually. And I my
woman owned.
My little cousin got married there a couple months ago.
Yeah. It's a great beautiful. Venue. Mm-hmm. The Armory and Iron Hand.
That's right. Yep.
So it's all right there. And worst case scenario, people go, well, there's none of those at Martin's. And okay, fine. Martin, it takes me 7 minutes to drive by car. Name me very many people that don't have to drive 7 minutes to get the grocery store. Most people live, you know, 5-10 minutes
away. Martin's to go now too, right?
Or you can get your groceries to go. There's plenty of things. I love it. But there is a Martin's coming to downtown. It's under development right now.
Oh, really? I'm learning so many things tonight. I'm so excited about it.
Commerce Center development will include a Martin's as a part of that.
Very nice.
So it's a 9-story building going up. Just to the north of that, there's a 7-story building going up just to the north of that. On
lots
the river
of stuff,
new housing, like it's just fun time to be involved.
Wow,
things are popping.
That's great.
It's interesting to think about, though. It's I can rattle off these things. We could sit here for how long were you guys here last time? We're not going to keep it that long.
Right. I mean, Pat kept us here for like 2 hours.
I'm not going to keep you that long. I could.
Good stuff.
But it's fun. But I think about it too, and it wasn't always this way. It wasn't this way growing up, right? Mm-mm. And so South Bend's seen an interesting history, just like all Rust Belt cities. You know, we saw a dip in economic activity and population, and we saw buildings get torn down during urban renewal in the 70s. And so we had a tough time, but we're making a comeback.
Why did you choose to stay?
Why did I choose to stay? I don't know if it was a conscious decision.
No.
Just the opportunities that kept presenting themselves here. I don't think I was ever opposed to leaving. Matter of fact, there was a point in time right before we met Angie, actually, that I was going to Purdue.
Oh.
I was leaving. I don't know. My old roommate's out there somewhere. I talked to him on the phone. We were like deciding who's going to bring the microwave and who's going to, you know, do this and that. And then I just didn't show up.
Oh, gosh.
Because I realized, you know, I was running my AV company and I got a scholarship to Holy Cross at the last minute. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to stay in my hometown. And so
interesting.
If I thought, you know, maybe that didn't happen. And so then after I graduated, well, maybe Notre Dame's not for me. I don't know if that's going to work out. I come from a blue collar family. I'm not sure I can afford that. And wouldn't you know it, at the 11th hour, I got another scholarship from the Hamas family to help that transition. And so if it weren't for people kind of helping out and surrounding you, and then one thing leads to the next, and then you're here. And so got a great life here. And I feel like I'm able to make a difference with the team that I'm working with. And so I don't think I ever saw a reason to have to leave.
Right.
I think.
Mm-hmm. So. And how great that those investments led to back to your investment in the community. I mean, we talk a lot here about how kindness spreads, right? And sometimes not even intentionally, but, you know, a lot of times when people invest in you, you invest in other people. And I feel like this is definitely one of those cases.
All day long. And, you know, we're all standing on shoulders of giants, right?
Sure.
And so you even think about the South Bend thing. I'd say it's a fun time to be involved now. But there are those community leaders over the past 50 years that had to do things to hold this community together.
Yeah.
That made strategic investments, that did everything they could. I think about it now and people say, oh, it's so fun to be involved. There's so much happening, and myself included. But what if no one ever built the Century Center?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What if no one decided to build Four Winds Field, Kovaleski Stadium, which is South Bend Cubs, the economic engine that is? What if they never decided to rehab the Morris Performing Arts Center back in the late 90s? Build the East Race. That was, you know, 30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And so all of those investments were really strategic. It was all we could stand to do to keep our city together. But we made those investments. And now you see those things paying huge dividends today because the Century Center is producing tens of millions of dollars of economic impact every year. And we see new hotels opening up because of it. Now we see things like Four Winds Field and the South Bend Cubs. You know, you've got new apartments, new restaurants popping up immediately adjacent to it. And you've got a million square feet of the former Studebaker building being renovated into a mixed-use high-tech park, essentially. And so all of these investments are finally paying dividends. But it was only possible because, again, we're standing on shoulders of giants, mm-hmm. those strategic things that people kind of paved the way for all of us sure. in advance. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
How important was it to tell that story? I mean, all those great things can be happening, right? I mean, think about when you had your, college friends coming in and you felt like you had to be the defender. So you had to learn more about South Bend and then tell the story of that. What role does telling the story about South Bend to everybody else play into the overall development of South Bend?
Yeah, I think that's critical. Mm-hmm. I often talk about kind of a three circles. If you imagine like a Venn diagram, mm-hmm. And I would draw out a Venn diagram here. There's the physical kind of investments that you make to a place or whatever it might be. We'll use the city as an example. We can make the physical investments all day long, but if we're not telling people about them, that's the promotional circle. Mm-hmm. And then the final thing is the programmatical circle. And so what are the things we're actually doing to these things? And so those would be the businesses we're recruiting, the events we're putting on, or whatever the case may be. All of those things have to align in that Venn diagram to create the center kind of intersection that I call the positive emotional experience. You could have a great story to tell and go out and make a website and have a tagline about your city and your place, and someone show up here and go, whoa, that does not match what you were saying on the website.
Sure. Right?
You could have a great looking city and have everything firing on all cylinders and have all of these great concerts and businesses and a good thing happening. But if you're not telling people about it, it's not spreading. And I think we're at that convergence right now. And Mayor Pete's a big part of that.
Sure.
Because he's out on a national stage beating the drum for our city.
And right, so future president, that, potentially.
That is awesome. And that's, the promotional side of things. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
That's been really critical.
Yeah, let's jump into that. I mean, since you bring it up, what's that been like?
Working for Mayor Pete?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a privilege. The guy, a lot of people forget, but he's somebody's boss. He's my boss.
Yeah.
He's a great boss. He doesn't micromanage. He has great vision, but he lets us take our vision and our story and our leadership and craft it. So each of the department heads, he has, really four major departments, but 12 departments overall that he oversees. And he lets us really drive the car, and it's kind of been fun. But wouldn't you know it, you sit in a meeting with this guy and cast your vision and you think you're bringing all the data. You think you've got the best idea, the best plan. You've thought through everything. And you spend 30 minutes with your colleagues and it maybe cross-functional teams kind of talking through the strategy and so on and so forth. Spend a lot of time with it. And after 30 minutes, Mayor Pete will just ask like the perfectly timed, like, strategic question, and it's like, duh, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, poking holes.
Yeah.
And he'll unlock something perhaps that we never would have thought about. And so that's the genius in the guy. He is let's try to say, I don't know how to say this, but mm-hmm. he is a genius and all things considered, that probably the true definition. I mean, the guy went to Harvard, Oxford. He's a Rhodes Scholar, worked for McKinsey Consulting. I mean, he's a concert quality pianist. He speaks, half a dozen languages mm-hmm. fluently. Like he learned a new language just so he could read a book, right?
Yeah.
Naturally.
Naturally. I mean, but then he's got the other side, he's got the arts side of things. He's got the human side of things. Sure.
He's relatable. He's charismatic. Relatable,
he invests in people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's a Navy vet, right? He's an officer in the Navy. Yeah. Yep. Like, geez, yeah. Louise, this guy's the full package. And he's a family man, right? And
right.
So it's fun to see him relate to his husband, Shastin, and how yeah. they work together. And so it's been really fun to work. I've learned a lot from him. I'm going to miss him. He's only my boss for a few more months, really.
Right.
He's done at the end of this year. And so, I'm confident we'll get to work with him in other ways in the future.
That's pretty fantastic.
And exciting.
I mean, and honestly, how exciting is it, right? To have a
so
major presidential candidate from the Midwest.
Yeah, from the Midwest, from South Bend, Indiana. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's very exciting, especially, I grew up hearing often that South Bend sat on the shoulders of Notre Dame. Mm. And certainly Notre Dame brings economic value beyond measure to South Bend. But I really feel like the city itself has started to build up their own rapport mm. and their their own means of sustaining itself, which is really exciting as well. It's taken a very, very long time to be able to acknowledge and be able to say that. Certainly, you know, it adds to it, but I don't think that it's built on it anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to see. But, you know, you say it felt like South Bend was on the shoulders of Notre Dame or whatever the case may be. But it wasn't always that way, right? South Bend was here before Notre Dame was here.
Sure.
And it was just pretty interesting seeing how the two kind of grew up together. Yeah. Heck, when Newt Rockne was football coach, he wasn't even that wasn't a full-time job. He was a manager on the Studebaker manufacturing line.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
You know, some people today might say Notre Dame's the big brother to South Bend.
Yeah.
Back, if that's the case, it certainly wasn't the case back then. South Bend was the big brother and Notre Dame was just the small Catholic school, you know, in town. And so it's just interesting how they kind of grew up together, maybe grew apart for a period of time, quite frankly. But today, I think the relationship with the university and the city are better than ever. And Notre Dame's really leading the way on trying to help figure out how to tie those two together. And I can't tell you the number of partnerships and the ways in which we work together. It's been rewarding for me as an alum to say, okay, I get to work and be proud of my university and my city at the same time. There was a time when I was considering kind of moving up the ranks at Notre Dame versus going to work in the city. And it was a tough decision to make. What do I do? And so I kind of did a reverse interview with the executive vice president of the university, John Affleck Graves, who was more or less, he had offered me a job. And I sat in his office and I was impressed with him for two reasons. One, you know, here I am, a pretty low guy on the totem pole. And he made time for me in his office. His assistant knocks on the door and says, you know, that I forget the guy's name, but there was another vice president on the phone calling from Rome. He needs to speak with you. John Affleck Graves goes, I'm in a meeting. Let him know I'll call him back when I'm finished. I won't need terribly much longer. I was like, wow, this guy, I would have gladly stepped out of the room, right? Sure. So he could have taken that phone call. And just that the person in front of him was so important that he wanted to hear that conversation and he knew something else could wait. And so that's a lesson that I try to take with me, right?
Yeah.
What do they always say? The most important conversation you have of the day is the one you're having right now with the person in front of
you. Yes, absolutely.
So that was a pretty cool lesson. But the other thing he said was, asked me why I was thinking about going to work for the city. And I told him why and you know, gave him some of my reasons. And he said, those are all first principled reasons. Those all make sense. And he says, go do it. Notre Dame will always be here. And if you ever want to come back, you'll be even more valuable to us. But I'll tell you what, Notre Dame needs good people in South Bend, and South Bend needs good people at Notre Dame. We're in this together. And he told me that, and I was like, yes, I can serve the university and serve my community simultaneously. Sure. So that's been fun. And we're together now kind of working on this whole concept of regionalism too.
Yeah.
And saying, I mean, we're saying the word South Bend a lot, but in my mind, we're what, 45 minutes outside of South Bend right now or so?
I mean, regionalism is absolutely happening. Yeah. I mean, we see even, again, I serve on the chamber board for my hometown, you know, and we see other chambers in our region, in our area, even in Michigan, who are now contracting with South Bend to form these partnerships that are allowing business to cross state lines, you know, and just embracing this concept of regionalism. And, you know, that's the future. That's the direction. I think that we are seeing the potential for making these connections to not be so insular, but to grow our entire region. So I love that.
We're stronger together.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely. The interoperability is beneficial to everybody.
I mean, it's the whole winery theory, right? Like why are wineries close together? Because they all benefit, you know, and
does it all come back to wine in this?
It really does. Yes.
Usually everything in my life comes back to wine, Aaron. I'm not gonna lie.
I like it.
Yes. There are many references one can make, but I like that you talk about that. So what's your take on this regionalism trend?
It's been fun. I've helped on several of the regional cities committees. I've been bought in since day one. You know, what one city, first of all, we're not competing. This isn't South Bend versus Mishawaka. This isn't, you know, South Bend versus St. Joe or St. Joe versus Elkhart. We're competing on a global stage these days.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is our region versus some other region in China. This is our region versus somewhere in South America. You know, even nationally, we got to think about those things on a global stage. And so if we can figure out how to present ourselves as bigger than we are, Mayor Pete likes to talk about punching above our weight, collectively, we're going to be stronger. We're going to offer more to the visitor. We're going to offer more to the potential business. We're going to offer more to our current and future residents if we're offering these things together and working on business recruitment and retention as a cohesive tool. And then as a consumer, just really as someone who is here and loves to do things in the community, it doesn't matter to me if I'm going out to, matter of fact, this Friday, I'm going out to dinner in Goshen.
Very nice. Yes.
Venturi Pizza. I don't know if you guys have been there.
It's amazing. I've never been there though. So. You'll have to let us know.
Yeah. So what does it matter? Or come up here to the wineries or go to the Lake Michigan shore, right? Mm-hmm. Or go to the dunes for a hike or whatever the case may be. We have a great package of things in this immediate region.
Yeah.
And we got to sell that together and celebrate it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I'm involved in, the Strategic Alliance in Southwest Michigan. We talk about making the whole region a great place to live, work, and play, and that takes all of us. That takes this regional concept where we're pulling in, you're right, we're competing with other regions across our nation, across the country, across the world. Mm-hmm. Why not pull them in with all of these different specialties that we add to the plate?
So you talk about retention though, right? We're mm-hmm. talking about retention and we're talking about competing with the regions. And I think that oftentimes those who aren't overly familiar with our area, one of the disadvantages that we have are our winters, right? It gets cold here.
And I might disagree there.
But for a lot of people—
I don't disagree that it gets cold.
—aren't aware—
I mean, I was in Traverse City wine tasting, and it was snowing this weekend.
But you have travel to consider.
April.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Those sorts of things. So what do you say to those who are considering a move south versus a move to the Midwest? Because nobody wants snow.
I love the four seasons. So you're gonna talk to the rugged. I just love them. And sometimes the spring drag on a little bit. Like I'm ready to get to summer or whatever. The winter is like not letting go. Sure, you have some of that, but who's in charge of your attitude? It's you, right? Some of my friends will tell you that they've heard me say the line a million times. Like I said, there's no such thing as bad weather. Only bad preparedness. So you can go. I go kayaking in the winter, right? I go hiking in the winter. I'll do. I mentioned pizza already. Pizza and wine are a great combo. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last winter. We had that Snowmageddon. Do you remember that?
Yes.
We had the polar vortex this year.
I know. It's Snowmageddon. I mean, the marketing
what
of
is
our
next year. Like,
amazing.
If the marketing of our winters here in the Midwest don't pull you in, I don't know what else is going to.
Yeah. Well, we had that Snowmageddon. It just happened to fall on National Pizza Day. It was a February. I'll remember it vividly. And so we thought, what are we going to do? So what we did was we strapped on our snowshoes and we went on a little downtown South Bend pizza crawl. We went over to Barnaby's. We hiked over to Rocco's. We went to Corby's.
Very
and so,
nice.
Part of, I think, my job is to not try and tell people they got to like winter. I'm in a position that has to help create a winner that people want to like. Mm-hmm. And so what does that mean? We look at the three circles again, physically. How am I making sure that things are accessible or manageable? How are we building our streets and our trails and our parks to be enjoyable in the winter? And so we're doing some of that. And I can tell you about that in a minute.
Yes.
Promotionally, you said taglines. I mean, what are we doing? I've seen some winter taglines that like, winter patios are becoming a big thing in certain northern cities and whatnot, like being outside at a restaurant patio in the winter. And so they have fire pits and mm-hmm. tables and chairs. And so
igloos.
Their taglines. Igloos, yes.
That's right.
Three Blondes Brewery.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
So what I see, come parka your butt on our patio. Uh-huh. So, so the promotional side of things. And how do we even talk about things? Like sometimes we talk about the winter as the bad weather. Why is that bad? Why is it bad?
Why are we not embracing and celebrating?
Yeah, it's going to come every year. It is what it is. And there's certainly cities that have it much, much worse than us, by the way. If you go to some of these Norwegian cities or you go to Alaska or whatever, I mean, it's dark there. Yeah. 24 hours a day, 20 hours away and way colder. But even the way we talk about it and promote it, the promotional side, the physical side, and then the programmatical side. What are we doing in the winters to make them fun? Like I took took stock of the amount of festivals and concerts and events and entertainment offerings that we have in the summer versus the winter. It's like, what are we doing? We're missing this. We're missing the boat. And a lot of this just is rather recent to me. It's a recent passion to me. So it's interesting you bring it up. I got the opportunity a couple of months ago. So in the middle of January, to go up to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
It's like the greatest name. Yeah,
it just makes me think of Bigfoot.
Cartoon, it does sound like a cartoon.
I never heard of Saskatoon, but it's
like what they would like stamp on one of the boxes to send off on a train.
You're gone for no. It's actually a pretty metropolitan city. It's in kind of north central Saskatchewan in Canada. So I tell some people, like, you don't go much more north than that until you're just like you're in the woods only. People don't really live much north of that. But there was a conference called the International Winter Cities Movement Conference, and it brought people from around the world, all these Nordic countries and North America, and to talk about basically how do you make your winter cities more livable. And it was just really intriguing. And so if we're up there, one guy told me, he's like, we took a tour, a walking tour of Saskatoon. I love saying that word. I think somebody told me it's in a movie like Ice Age or something.
Oh, I've heard of that before.
So there you go. I took a tour of it and he said, you know, the perfect winter up here is like a constant negative 15 because it's kind of too cold to keep snowing, you know, it doesn't snow that much. But it's so cold that things don't go through this freeze-thaw cycle. So you're not getting the potholes. You're not getting these icy conditions. Once it's cleared and melted, nothing else can and everything's clear. So that's just perfect. And it's reliable. And, you know, the number of festivals and games they invented up there. And it was actually bike to work week when I was up there. And so these people are biking to work with their fat tires and their ski masks and like ski goggles and things like that. So I went on this really, really beautiful outdoor Native American hike that had all of these really awesome traditions iPad lit. It was just awesome. It's really hard to explain. Radio would not do it justice. No, podcast would not do it justice. it was just beautiful. And I'm thinking, if they can embrace winter up there, we can surely embrace winter in South Bend. And when, you know, I came back and the next day was the polar vortex.
Right.
We're shutting down schools in the city. I'm like, that's just called a regular day in Saskatoon.
That's a warm up.
Kids still walk to school. People are still driving. But the thing is, they're prepared for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we got to get a little bit better at that. Yeah. And so there's some things we can do as a city to be better prepared for those things too. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to start that conversation a little bit more in earnest. So
that's exciting. And to celebrate those things. I love the whole idea of celebration, just changing your mindset, right? I mean, that's not just about winter. That's about life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, changing who's in charge of your attitude. I love that you said that. It's you. Like literally every day when you wake up, you get to decide how you're going to attack the day, how you're going to approach any conversation, you know? And that's not just about winter, because I get real sick of winter.
I hate when you're logical with me.
I'm sorry. I know. But I subscribe to that concept as well, Aaron. So I'm glad that you bring that up, because not only is it's all about how you sell it, right? Like you got to encourage others to have that mindset, but it really is. It's as simple as that on the very basic level. It is telling yourself, this is good, not bad. Yeah. And why is it good, not bad? And let's celebrate the good part about it, because there are a lot of cool things. You know, in Buchanan, my beloved hometown, we decided to celebrate the winter by having the winter thrill on the hill.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It's cold.
That's awesome.
Yep. It's cold. So you know what we should do? We should shut down Front Street, the main thoroughfare of our tiny little town, bring in all the snow. You know, for a couple of days, we'll have kids, folks, everybody. You can slide down the big hill. We'll have music. We'll have, and
let's
that's
do
how
it.
You do it,
yeah.
Right?
All right?
That's how you
well,
do it.
Well, Niles has the Hunter Ice Festival.
The Hunter Ice Festival.
Which is amazing. We actually went out there this year, and, you know, there's like chili cook-offs, and there's some beer crawls, and, you know,
and things. People are out.
And people 100% were out there where it was hard to find places to park. And, oh my gosh, the ice sculptures were phenomenal. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It was real cold, but it was so worth it.
Just dress for it. Right?
Yeah, you dress for it and you prepare for it. And it was a good time. And most of the time, you know, like the chili cook-offs or the beer tastings or whatever, all of that stuff was going back to a good cause too. So not only are you out there sort of like getting out of the house, kind of curing that cabin fever, but you're supporting your community too.
I'm convinced this town likes it. They just like to have something to complain about. We had two great examples this past late fall and right on New Year's Day at Notre Dame Stadium. So when we had 80,000 people plus out there for the Garth Brooks concert.
I was there.
It was snowing. I was there. Was that cold?
It was cold. It was incredible, but it gave me an opportunity to wear my duck hunting gear out in public.
Yeah.
I'm in camo head to toe. It was the most incredible experience.
It was pretty cool.
How beautiful was it when the whole crowd, 80,000 people are singing and the snow is like beautifully falling? Yeah. It was like one of those places you just had to be there.
Some people say that's bad weather. I think it made the experience more special.
I absolutely agree. Like, I look back at the photos, you know, that we took that day, and I'm like, look at us.
Yeah.
We didn't care about what we were dressed head to toe in the warmest gear. We had a great time. We embraced, we embraced, you know, what was in front of us and just, you know, the excitement.
You experienced it.
And then New Year's Day, we had the Blackhawks game in the stadium. Yeah. It was cold out that day, too. Yeah. And so sunny, but cold. And so you got to prepare for it. It's a little bit of a mindset stuff. You got to also create the opportunities that people want to be at. And so those were really high profile opportunities and fun that bring people out. And so I wonder, I've been joking with some of my staff. We do in South Bend Best Week Ever, right? And that's in the summer.
Yes.
I was like, maybe we need next year, move it to the winter. Maybe we need to have Best Week Ever in the winter.
Sure.
And we just might do that. So.
Well, and you do restaurant weeks on both.
Yeah, we do restaurant weeks in the winter. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Winter and summer.
The winter, I know we're getting out of winter here, and so everybody's getting anxious about spring. But one last thing about the winter is, you know, there's so many good things about the winter too, that if we didn't have all four seasons, you mentioned about the people that want to move south or whatever, like, hey, I like to bring out my sweaters.
Right.
I like to bring out my winter hats and I like to cook some winter foods and soups and breads and things that I might not normally eat the rest of the year. I like to go bowling and do some of these other things that I might not normally do. Catch up on movies and my Netflix.
Fireplace.
Yeah. Fireplace.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's not all bad. And so that maybe to transition out of winter, because I think people are probably like, come on, stop talking about the cold.
Right,
finally starting to get warm. But, you know, that's just with anything. I think, you know, people often come up with excuses about why they don't want to do something or why something's not fun or exciting. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't go to this show because I didn't know how to park in downtown South Bay, parking or whatever the case may be.
And
If parking or cold or some of those, what I would call surface level excuses, are truly the reason you're not doing something, either you're a boring person or the flip side is whatever's being offered isn't good enough. And so if a restaurant's telling me nobody comes here because people can't park, I can point out hundreds of restaurants around the world that people would walk blocks and blocks and blocks.
And Uber, there's Uber.
There's lots of ways to combat that stuff. So my attitude is always, you know, either create a better experience or guess what? That's probably not the people you need to be reaching out to anyways, because you're never going to please them.
Right.
Yeah.
So I love that you say all that, and I know we talked a lot about South Bend, but you're obviously in that position for a reason, and it's apparent to me, and I've just met you tonight, that that's largely due to your attitude, right? So you have this just infectious, positive personality. Where does that come from, and why is that important to you?
Believe me, I'm Italian, so I get frustrated at times, you know, it runs in the family, but, you said it, you can choose how to act or react to any situation. But, you know, I've seen, actually gave a TED talk not that long ago on this topic of failure. And so, when things don't go your way in life, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, it could feel like life failed you. It could feel like something didn't, you know, I didn't get what I want when I wanted it or whatever the case may be. When in reality, the roots of the word failure is like this rather relatively new term. The past 100 years, we've talked about it as this thing, like when you fail, it didn't work and that's it. The roots of the word failure is fallo, the Latin roots, and that means to stumble or to trip. And so a failure isn't even a fall and it certainly isn't terminal. What happens when you stumble or trip? You correct your step and you get right back up and you go. I brought out dozens and dozens of examples in my life where at the time I felt like, hey, I didn't get to go to Notre Dame right away. That feels like a failure. Matter of fact, you know, that wasn't going to work out. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't get it. Whatever the case may be, feels like, okay, I didn't get to do that. Well, there was better plans for me. I got to go for almost no debt, you know, because I went a different route. You know, when certain things don't work out, like my my business felt like, okay, well, it was really tough to make, you know, make ends meet when I was running my business right out of college. I tell people sometimes I was having candlelight dinners, not because I was making a lot of money and going to fancy restaurants, because I couldn't afford to pay the electric bill. And when you run an AV company, you need to pay the electric bill.
Sure.
It's hard to make videos when you don't have electricity. But guess what? That wasn't the right thing for me at the right time for whatever reason. And that ended up, you know, leading me that path to Legends and so on and so forth, which eventually helped me get my MBA and, you know, allowed me to do my community development work and not focus so much on my business. And so things just happen for a reason. And so that attitude is something that perhaps, you know, I've had to learn the hard way.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can't teach attitude. I've worked with plenty of staff members and whatnot. You can't teach that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a perspective that can be applied to a lot of things.
We talk a lot here about, influence, people who have influenced you in your life. And those sorts of things. If there was somebody that you could think of that has had the most positive influence on your life, who would that be?
Boy, it's always going to be, for most people, it'd probably be their parents, I would say, one parent or another. And I'm lucky enough to have two fantastic, loving parents that, even though, you know, we grow up on maybe this is part of where the attitude comes from too, even though we're growing up on food stamps at times, right? And struggling to make ends meet as a family, we still have family traditions and we still had dinner at the table every night. And even though, you know, we couldn't go on great big family vacations and things like that, we had our camping trips. And sometimes it was camping in the backyard.
Yep.
Or it was my mom making the special cake for our birthdays. And it probably wasn't fancy, but she took her time in decorating it just so, right? And so definitely parents would stick out as somebody that I'm really grateful and who shaped me into where I am today. And that's probably family as a whole, quite frankly. But the other thing that sometimes when I reflect on this is my involvement with a group called Young Life. It's a non-denominational outreach Christian ministry. And I had some great Young Life leaders. And so I was in that in high school and then became a leader in college and eventually on their board. And I'm still a supporter today. But the leaders that taught me things and their methodology in terms of just forming relationships and meeting people where they are and just how to have fun and you know, boy, there's lots of principles that I apply from my time with my Young Life leaders into my work today. And so I would say that's the probably two ways I would answer that question.
Always interesting. You know, what I love about that story is that, you know, we sit here and talk to a lot of people who are very successful and the things that they've done and where they're at. But it's always nice to know, or not to know, but to hear that all of them come from very humble roots. You know what I mean? And I think that our listeners relate to it a lot. I know that I relate to a lot. It's nice to understand that just because you don't come from a certain place doesn't mean you can't get to the place that you deem successful for yourself, or that there aren't goals that you can reach because of X, Y, or Z. And so, those stories really tend to resonate. So I'm glad that you sort of touched on that a little bit.
People have it way harder than me, right? You know, it's easy to sit here and say, oh, this and this was sad or tough in my life. But like some of these things that you talk about and you look back and you go, well, that's great. That's who made me who I am. It sounds like it all worked out in the end. Well, you know what? There's going to be something else tomorrow that doesn't go right.
Yeah.
And the next day and the next day. So you have to look at your life, but it's also then it's on us to help pay it forward too. Right. And
absolutely.
So those of us that find ourselves in a position. So that's why I love to serve on so many boards and nonprofits and give back to the community like that. It's just, it's rewarding. And those experiences of volunteering is what got me here today, and it's going to get me to wherever I go next. And
yeah,
I don't know where that is. Yeah. So it's fun. I don't have a boss in 9 months, so we'll see what happens.
See where it goes. I always joke that I have a yes problem, right? Like I come from my hometown that I returned to. I went out into the world for about 10 years. I lived in D.C. I lived in other places. And then I came home. I always knew I'd come home. And I love the concept of giving back. I love the whole idea of making this town a better place for my own children. Does that drive you? Is that an important piece of why you're doing what you do? What is this continued commitment to your community and the whole idea of giving back?
Yeah.
Like, how important is that to you, really?
It's fun. It's what's fueled a lot of the people who helped create this town in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so I love to read up about the Studebakers and the early council people and things like that, that came here and engage, you know, some of the early European settlers that engaged with the Native Americans that were here, so on and so forth. And just the thing that drove them to create this place, it is cool to read those stories. And the way, so here's a cool one. Like there's a story in Turner's Directory, which is best I can tell it is some combination of like a phone book and an annual report for a mm-hmm. city. And this guy sure. named Turner, he was a local attorney and professor at Notre Dame and compiled it for a period of years. And so one of the Turner's Directories talks about the creation of the dam on the St. Joseph River. So it's now where we have the River Lights, right? The Cascades there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, that's what powered early industry on South Bend. So hydroelectric power, mm-hmm. right? So all the factories in there were powered by that dam. He writes the story about the city pulling together the city leaders and everyone understanding that, like, if this town's going to grow and be a town to reckon with, we're going to need to harness the power of the river. And the city got together. They tried to figure out how much money they had to do it, and the city didn't have enough money to do it. And so then basically they held fundraisers and tried to gather money and things like that. And they still fell short. So then at that point in time, there's a great line in the story that says, like, everybody from lawyers and clergymen, teachers and mayors, trundled the barrel and wielded the plow. Basically, it was like every man, woman, and child helped build this thing to pull uh-huh. it together because they knew what had to be done to take our city to the next level. And it continues to talk about this is a town of doers and people that will create to take us to the next step. And so it's my turn to do that right now. We're redoing Howard Park, for example, and it was fun reading up the history on Howard Park. Councilman Tim Howard, who originally saw that piece of property, which was the city dump at the time.
Oh my God.
And it was right there on the river.
Park. Is that right?
I mean, my dad played on an ice hockey team Howard Park for 20 years.
And awesome.
Then I played, yeah.
So, did you have your first kiss on the ice rink? I hear that story all the time. We're not going to talk about
first
kiss.
No comment there.
Okay. The listeners could not see the look I just got.
Silence speaks volumes here.
The councilman had this idea that, like, we're going to turn the city dump. It's on riverfront property. We're going to turn this into what the term at the time was a public pleasure ground. So that sounds like a weird term.
It public does.
That yes. would have very different, but there were no such things as public parks. There wasn't the thing. There were like formal gardens, outdoor gardens, and then there were plazas and piazzas and things like that in Europe. But there were no like public parks, just places for people to be, you know, hang out and stuff like that, that were separate from those spaces. And he said, we're going to turn it into a pleasure ground. It's no longer going to be a city dump. It took a while. But towards the grand opening, which was actually in 1899, so we're the 140th year since then. Or something.
I don't do numbers. I don't know.
Don't test me on that. So wherever we are from then, 120. Yeah, that sounds about right. He said, we're underpinning this piece of property and dedicating this to the thousands of residents that are going to come out here and be entertained and enjoy and be connected to one another. I'm paraphrasing here, in the next several years. And then the thousands of unborn that will continue to use it for generations to come. And so that's just, you know, I feel privileged to be able to invest in my city in this way, it's making a difference. And so I could literally see what people have done in the past to make a difference. And I'm getting to do it right now.
That's
it's pretty
That's
cool.
Pretty That's pretty exciting. Cool. What are you most excited about the future of South Bend right now?
Yeah. So, the promise is huge, right? So almost every key indicator that we have for the community, whether it be population growth or violence or schools or economic growth, average income, property values, so on and so forth. Almost every indicator is moving in the right direction. So less violence, more population. You know, you hear what I'm saying on that. Mm-hmm. That is awesome because the city is outpacing a lot of cities of our size around the country. Yeah. So that's cool, the potential there. But me personally, right now, the largest thing I'm working on is called the MySB Parks and Trails Initiative. It's a $60 million project that's touching just about every corner of the city, updating our shared spaces. So from the zoo to the river walks to the small neighborhood parks to the major parks like Howard Park and the newly renovated Charles Black Community Center, and so on and so forth. These are the spaces where we go to be entertained and to pull together as a community. And so we are, this is the most significant investment of its kind in South Bend's history, more than triple than anything ever has been invested before in these spaces. It's going to fundamentally transform the landscape literally of our community. And so the things that'll come from that are exciting to me. It's neat to see those physical improvements, and I get excited about the new ice trail at Howard Park or the new interactive water feature, or the new community center here, or I know people get excited about the new playgrounds coming into their neighborhoods or the trail connectivity and so on and so forth. It's exciting to see those physical changes, but the why behind those things become even more important to me when I think about what it means for social unity when mm-hmm. we can ensure that every neighborhood has quality access to a quality park. When we can ensure that all our trails are ADA compliant and all our restrooms are universally accessible. When we can say things like the safety of this neighborhood increased or the property values increased because we invested in the shared space nearby. When we can say things like the public the public health and physical health and social well-being of people improved because of these investments, you know, the individual efficacy, the economic impact that is produced because of these things. That's what makes those investments. Sure, it's fun to physically see the transformation, but I think it's actually going to literally transform our community as well. So that's what makes it rewarding for me.
I mean, you sold me. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like,
so we're taking donations.
Right. Right.
I'm looking at the weekend. I'm thinking, what can I do in South Bend this weekend? So, yeah. I mean, seriously, Aaron, you do a phenomenal job of talking about the benefits of your great city. And the reason is because you're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that passion is genuine. And you sell it because you believe it, you know, and I think that's the crucial component. And you believe it because you believe in community and you believe in growing it, organically and with the folks that are on your team. So, I mean,
there are so many people. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it takes an entire team to do that. And really a team that's devoted to the mission of making it a better place, not only today, but for the thousands of the unborn, right? I mean, right. You have to have that lens. You have to have the today lens. All right. How can I bring people in this weekend? How can I bring people in this season? But then how can I then put some structural things in place that for seasons to come, the people keep coming back?
Yeah. And it all started by being defender of your community. I mean, I keep going back to that because, mm-hmm. you know, we have a lot of listeners in a lot of different places around here. We talk a lot about our specific communities here, but those sorts of lessons can apply no matter where you're at.
You bet.
You know, I mean, and the ripple effects that come from those sorts of things, you may never know, but they are large and they create lakes of effect. And it's pretty phenomenal. And yeah. I think that you are a prime example of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. And I consider it a privilege to be able to call this my job. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't always my job, and it probably won't always be my job. But that's also the neat part about South Bend is that you can make a difference no matter where you are and what you do. And so there are so many people doing this, and the success of this community is way more contingent on those people's efforts than the people whose official job it is like mine. And so I'm grateful that this community is made up. It always was, And I think it always will be made up of doers.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And the doers have to show up, and yeah, they do.
They do.
And they do.
And that's right. And
time after time. 100%.
Yeah. I love this conversation, Aaron. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio tonight. I mean, honestly, like, I really want to go to South Bend right now. Like, I'm looking at it. Like, I'm thinking about all the opportunities that there are. And
I will take you to the farmer's market. We will go to Iron Hand. We'll check out Purple Porch.
Oh, there my gosh. Should we so list all the things? The South Bend Cubs are starting their season.
Thursday. And that's an amazing park. Oh, it really is.
It is.
St. Pat's Park. I grew up in St. Pat's Park. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing out there.
Well, Pitbull concert just got announced.
It did. It did. I did hear that.
I'm going to Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw's coming out. How about Snoop Dogg? That's coming this summer.
Tim McGraw's a part of Best Week Ever, isn't it?
That's part of Idea Week.
Idea Week.
And Idea Week's going to be fantastic.
Idea Week, okay.
Going to the Michael Carbonaro show during Idea Week. Okay.
All right. He's a very nice
comedy hypnotist, magician.
How do I get tickets to that?
He's at the Morris, so morriscenter.org, of course.
Hypnotist.
Yeah. Or like an undercover comedy magician. I don't remember his spiel. He's got a TV show on True TV.
I mean, it sounds interesting.
He's good. So, I mean, just there's a great, now I'm going to forget. It's either Plato or Aristotle quote, but it goes something like this, and forgive me for not remembering which great philosopher it was, but this town is what it is because its people are who they are. This town is what it is because its people are who they are. And it's interesting. So if you say it's a boring town or an unsafe town or a not very culturally diverse town, well, that's our fault. It's the people who make up the town. But if you say it's an exciting town, it's a fun town, there's always something going on. That's because this town is made up of people who are exciting and fun and diverse and creative. And we have those people. The very few people I used to hear all the time, people say there's nothing going on. So I hardly ever hear it anymore.
Yeah.
It is going on and it's fun time to be involved. And if it doesn't exist here, you get to create it.
That's right. That's the best part. Where can they find out more information about what's going on in South Bend?
Oh my gosh. There's so many places to follow. I say follow us on social media. Mm-hmm. It's South Bend Venues, Parks and Arts. We try to post everything that's happening and keep up with that. We've got newsletters and things like that. There's a great resource that comes out from the Tribune called In the Bend, regional resource. It's also a website.
Great.
You can also follow them on social media, but that comes out every Thursday and that's a great resource. It shows everything that's going on in South Bend, Elkhart region, Southwest Michigan. So there is, follow me on Facebook or I post everything that's going on as well. It's interesting because sometimes people go, how do you know what's going on? You do have to look, right?
Yeah.
I said that a little bit earlier, like, you know, it does take a little bit of effort. Right. How do you know when I think sometimes people think like I got to call them every time something's going on. I can't call everybody in the region, but it's out there. These places that are doing concerts, events, the museums that are doing such great things and the library that's doing so many great family programs and otherwise, like there is so much going on out there. But you have to take the first step. I mean, it's a two-way phone and people, no one told me about it. Why didn't you tell me?
Also be active, like take some responsibility. Yeah.
For the foodies out there, there's a great, follow it. There's a great Facebook page called Michiana Cork and Fork.
Oh yeah. That's
and they actually, they go out of their way to search out, local eateries and they expand. So it's not just the South Bend region, but they go into Goshen, they go into Michigan City.
Yeah.
They'll go into the Michigan area. So actually it's regional, like we're sort of talking about. And they are a great source.
Do you have a favorite hidden spot, a new spot?
My
current favorite?
Not a new one. There's a lot of new ones that I really want to try, but Simonini's.
Ooh.
Have you been there?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. It's one of my most favorite spots.
Is that up in Granger?
It is. It's by the Wakarusa Dime Store. Mm-hmm. It's in that little plaza, but it's a
former Victorian pantry, right?
Perhaps, yes. Right, but it's a fantastic date place, but it's a fantastic anytime place, guys.
Can you go there and get a date? Like, if you go there, will it just, like, it's a question. Date place?
I will stand there in the doorway, and I will be your date when you walk in, because the wine is amazing.
Perfect.
The creme brulee is to die for.
Okay.
They make
if the date's provided, I'm in.
They make their own pasta, and the pizza might be some of the best I've ever had.
Oh,
Simonini's.
Legitimately.
Okay. I'm going to make a list here.
So
Stacey, what's yours?
So if any of you need dates, I will gladly go with you to some
of
these. Yes,
well, I need recommendations for South Bend because, admittedly, I am a Southwest Michigan girl and I tend to stay above the border, mm-hmm. which I don't need to do. I need.
Well, mm-hmm. what's a good spot here?
Oh, gosh. Where do I begin? Yeah, are you kidding so me? Many.
I drove by DeBlon Winery on the way up here. That's a cool spot.
Yeah, DeBlon.
That's a great spot.
There's a great little brunch spot I explored mm-hmm. not very long ago, not to steal your thunder mm-hmm. or anything, but it's called Early Bird Eatery in Bridgman. Mm-hmm. And I met a girlfriend out there. She was coming from St. Joe's, so we needed a sort of a halfway spot.
Yeah.
And it is the quaintest place with the nicest people. And it's not very far from Lazy Ballerina's their Bridgman tasting room. Yeah. So it's literally right around the corner.
It all comes back to wine.
And on Sundays, they have half off wine. So, I mean, you go have brunch at Early Bird and you just go right around the corner for a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right?
Good.
So if I'm providing recommendations, again, I'm a hometown girl. So I always, always recommend the best coffee in the world is at Union Coffee House Ooh. Right downtown Buchanan, Michigan, owned by hometown girl Molly Thornton. Molly's older sister, Emily, just happened to be one of my very best friends in high school and my college roommate at Grand Valley State University. Go Lakers. The Union Cafe, absolutely. If you are looking for fantastic smoked meats, you need to check out Wheatberry, which is right on the river. Our very first tap room in downtown Buchanan is Lehman's Farmhouse.
That's right.
Lehman's Farmhouse. Owned by Steve Lucklider and his crew, his team. They are fantastic. They are supporters of this podcast. In fact, Steve will probably be a guest here. He has provided wine for us in the past. And they are actually hosting the United Way of Southwest Michigan's pop-up giving, which is like think Shark Tank for like nonprofits. It's like the most incredible event. We just had one at Silver Harbor Brewery in January. And so this is like Q2. You know, second quarter pop-up giving for United Way of Southwest Michigan, which I'm a big part of. So they're having their event at Lehman's Farmhouse. So if you haven't checked out Lehman's, they have incredible pizza. They have beer, wine,
great
spirits,
cider.
Their cider
is great. I got a good list going here.
Very first tap room in Buchanan. So we are very excited about that. I could go on and on and on and on with some local establishments, but you know, it's I guess the moral of the story is if you're coming to Michiana, the region, and we're talking about, you know, the northwestern region and the southwest of Indiana and southwestern region of Michigan, plethora.
Yeah.
So much
opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. So come on down.
Absolutely.
Come visit us.
I have a social share.
Okay.
And I feel like it's kind of perfect.
Okay.
And it's a little, so we do social shares at the end of each one.
This is how we end our episodes.
How we sort of wrap things up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've talked a lot about how it takes a lot of people to build a community, right? And this is a Helen Keller quote. Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. Mm-hmm. It's such a simple concept, but it's so true.
I mean,
it really is just so true.
It is. And I love to circle back and end this on the whole idea of attitude, right? Like, you get to pick your attitude every day. It doesn't matter what field you're in. It doesn't matter if you are trying to sell a product, or if you are trying to raise a family, or if you're trying to sell a city. It all depends on how you show up every day.
And the attitudes spread, mm-hmm. right? Just like smiles. You know, they talk about how you pass somebody on the street, and even if they're a stranger, if you smile, you never know how that impacts them. Well, attitudes are the same way. I mean, a lot of times people, you know, that infiltrates into other people. So if somebody's having a really bad day, that can sort of affect somebody else that they're dealing with or talking to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you choose to invest and you choose to have a positive perspective or put that positive spin on it, you have no idea how it might impact that other person and the things that can spin off of that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, attitude spread.
Yeah, there's enough negativity, you know, out there. And so I think anytime we get to inject some positive thinking and some positive attitudes out there, I think we all benefit from that, right?
Yeah. Attitude and community. You get to choose your attitude. You get to choose your community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you get to grow both.
Yeah. That's great.
you know.
I like it.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Yes, again,
thank you.
Fantastic guest. I certainly learned a lot, not only about South Bend, but about who you are as a leader. And, you know, the city is lucky to have you. I know you wouldn't say that, so I'm going to say that. But you do a great job of telling the story, and your attitude about the city is infectious. And I want to go. So
thanks.
If nothing else, right?
Well, I'll keep hustling. I probably won't be wearing heels very often, but I'll keep hustling.
That's all right.
That's okay. Half the time, I'd rather be wearing nothing. So I'd rather go barefoot.
We
so
welcome hustlers fun. And all kinds of footwear.
We absolutely
so.
Do. Yeah.
So, all right, folks, thanks again for joining us this week. Thanks for sharing us with your tribe. Thanks for being a part of our tribe. Yeah. Interact with us on social media. We are available on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, HAHpod.
Let us know your favorite places, too. Yeah. If you guys listen to this and you have a local spot that you think we should check out, even if you're not from, you know, Southwest Michigan or Northwest Indiana, mm-hmm. we travel. So we'd love to know your favorite places and your local community and what you recommend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Any final last words?
Oh, gosh. Thanks. Thanks so much for having
me. You like to put people on the spot.
That's, you didn't stump me with any of your questions except for that one. But no, I'm grateful for the opportunity to come up. I didn't know what I was getting in for. So yeah. Thanks, Angie, for inviting me.
Of course. It was so great to have you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to meet you, Stacey. And keep up the great work, you guys, as well.
Hey, thanks. Great time, folks. We will we'll catch you next week. Right, Ange?
Yep. Keep all hustling, guys.
See you later, hustlers.
See ya.
Hustlin' and Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Angie Crocker. All views and opinions expressed on the show are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Angie on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. You can also send the show an email to letschat@HIHpod.com. Feel free to write into the show if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. So be sure to reach out to us if you've got a question, comment, want to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all the ladies have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for their newest episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.